This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago Sports Betting Show.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word.
Hello? Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Saturday mornings on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
Broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. Hope you're enjoying the start to your weekend. Not many of these football-free Saturdays remain. Get all the family time in while you can, or while you're willing. Over the next hour here on Early Odds, we go over NFL divisional bets for all eight divisions and the legendary Phil Steele on college football around 8:40. Start your sign-up process for an account on the PointsBet app today. Registration is easy to complete at one of our three convenient sportsbook locations, more than any other sportsbook. PointsBet at Hawthorne Racecourse, the closest book to downtown, Crestwood in the South Burbs, and the newest one in Prospect Heights, where sign-ups, cash deposits, and withdrawals are fast. You've got Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Saturdays 8 to 9 a.m. here on 670. The Score on Twitter, at JoeO670, at JoeO670. The NFL, the mother was on your television the other night, I think, for some of you, willing to admit it. And a few of you even bet on the Hall of Fame game. So it is that time. We are less than 5 weeks away. What's the countdown? We have 33. So let's take a look at division futures. We're going to break down all eight division, see if there's any value on the board. We bring in on Early Odds, Jared Smith, a sports investment analyst at Jared Lee Smith. I've hosted some shows with him on the BetQL network. He's a terrific follow. Make sure you're following him there at Jared Lee Smith. Jared, I love it. Not sports better, sports investment analyst. That's what we do, man.
Of course, short-term, high-volatility investments. That's what I specialize in. And frankly, if you did bet on that preseason game the other night, my DMs are open. I can help. It's bankroll management, Joe. And, you know, the season is long. We're going to break down these odds, and there's tons of divisions. The season is long. Your bankroll will thank you. Stay away from the preseason at all costs.
Now, sometimes we do get some information, and there are some coaches that try and others that don't. Now, there are certain spots, but because it's a one-off, it's prime time, and you know a lot of people wanted to watch
it. It's FOMO.
I get it. People are going to bet it. I get it. But yeah, I didn't view the other night as a spot where, oh, you got to bet. There's some sort of a strong angle.
Agreed. Yeah, and I agree that there might be a spot or two that pop up that you're like, yep, I need to get involved in the preseason. The problem is those are very hard to kind of maneuver, because when they happen, those, you know, and this is a product of just how many really smart sharp bettors there are out there, and just the way the news cycle is, the market moves fast and those edges dry up very quickly. So if you are going to play the news cycle edge game with preseason, and it could be a valuable edge, you know, a player gets announced out before the game, you get to it first, but you got to be quick. You got to be very quick, and you got to be fearless as well.
No doubt. And you know where I have to start since we're airing on 670, The Score in Chicago and the Odyssey app. We have to begin with the NFC North as we go over division futures. And if you don't have a wager on one, don't feel like you have to force it. Jared, it still blows my mind that 2 weeks ago today, the Minnesota Vikings were favored to win the NFC North. But that's what happened. Right now, we've got the Packers -160. Vikings are your second favorite at +255. The Bears +500. Detroit +2500. The most value on the board for the Bears all offseason, it's there right now. Once this Rodgers thing became official, all of a sudden the Bears dropped down a little bit. And Minnesota's the second favorite. 255 to +500. I don't have that gap between these two teams. And I'd really be concerned with everything that Kirk Cousins has been saying over the last few days to find out this week that that is the least vaccinated team in the NFL. I don't care which side you are on this stuff. I don't want to be putting futures on teams that don't have players vaccinated.
Well, yeah, it's data. I mean, you know, say what you want again about, you know, which side of the fence you're on about the vaccination issue that we currently have in the NFL. But, you know, why would you want to bet on a team that could potentially be without a certain percentage of their rotation every week based off of this kind of stuff? I agree that the gap between Minnesota and Chicago should not be wide at all. And you want to take it a step further with the Vikings. They just cut their first round pick from last year. And, you know, that's not a good, you know, taste to be walking into the season with. I would lean Chicago if you have to make a play here. I definitely wouldn't lay it with the Packers. But if you like Chicago to win this division in terms of the value, then I think you should look to a Fields, you know, offensive rookie of the year type prop. Because you would imagine, first of all, it's a little bit longer in the odds. And also you would imagine it's a very correlated bet. You know, if the Bears win the division, you would think Justin Fields. I guess we could have an alternate reality where it's Andy Dalton, but I would assume it's because of Justin Fields taking a giant step forward, being the rookie quarterback that everyone hopes that he is in that fine city of Chicago. And I would imagine value wise, you won't get a better price than you will now before he's named the starter. Once he's named the starter, those longer odds will dry up very quickly.
Boy, Jared, you know this as well as anyone. Key to futures is timing the market correctly.
Absolutely.
And we've got the Bears week one Sunday night at the LA Rams and that stout defense. Andy Dalton is likely the starter. So maybe you want to wait a week because yes. You should be getting a number better than +500. Bears touchdown underdogs week one.
100%. And I'll be honest, the Rams, you know, the Stafford news isn't great either. And that's the preseason dilemma with the futures market and the futures market in general this year, more than last year and the last 3 to 5 years, more than prior in recent memory for me, because of all the roster reforms, more players, less practices. Now you're adding a game. Last year, you added a playoff spot. It's really hard to wrap your arms and assign value to a lot of this stuff. So I think this year, more than any other year I can remember, Joe, way less of, you know, excitement about getting my money in early. I want to wait as long as possible and get as much information as possible because the information is the key these days. As much as it was back in the day, it didn't move as quick and there wasn't as many nuances, information, the way it moves these days. I want to wait till as long as humanly possible. And of course, time the market effectively, very hard to do.
Are you with me? There's a bet there on the Bears to win the division, but I would just wait a little bit.
Yeah. I wouldn't bet. I think if you're picking one team, and again, Green Bay is priced as the favorite, they're supposed to win that division. Detroit priced as the caboose, they're going to be in fourth. Where can you find the misprice? Well, it's Minnesota, Chicago. I could see those teams trading places very easily. Chicago's 2, Minnesota's 3. If that's the case, you're getting a good number on the Bears. And yes, waiting as long as possible, absolutely key. If you like Chicago, though, it's, you know, you want them to win that game because let's say the Bears get off to a good start and, you know, upset week one. Then all of a sudden you're off to a great start and maybe you miss some of the market. So I don't know, maybe half in now, half in week two. Sure. You know, if you really want to get invested on Chicago this year, if you're a little more neutral, then you wait till week two, I think.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, the key, when is Justin Fields going to be on the field? How about the NFC West, regarded as the best division in football? And it should be because it is. There's an outside shot here where we have four teams that finish above 500 in the 17-game season. Got the LA Rams and San Francisco 49ers, co-favorites over at PointsBet. Both are +190. Seattle, the third favorite, at +275. They're the third favorite, but the win total is set at 10. And then you've got Arizona +600. I keep going back to San Francisco. Love the coaching. Great coaching in LA as well. But according to win totals, they have the easiest schedule. You're going to have Bosa, DeFord, Sherman all back after missing double-digit games last year. Kittle was out half the season as well. So I'm looking for a healthy San Francisco team to bounce back. Big question, when's the rookie quarterback going to be go on the field? But hey, I don't think Arizona's completely out of this, even though they are the underdog, if you get a healthy Kyler Murray all season.
I agree. I have two things for you. First of all, I think you're reading my notes on the Niners. You must be in my Google document. The first thing I have is easiest schedule based on NFL current win totals. And so if you are going to lean San Francisco, you bet the win total and not the division, because the division is going to be tough. The Rams and Seahawks could all win over 11 games, just like the 49ers are supposed to. And the Niners hit their win total and lose the division or finish second in the division. So I think if you're going to bet San Francisco because of their schedule, the win total does make more sense. If you want value, we throw that word around a lot. The Cardinals at 6-1. It's kind of like the NFC East last year. You just bet the last place team every week and you hope that these teams knock each other off along the way and you get a Seattle or an LA at 5-6-1 at some point middle of the season. But one thing I will say about Arizona, the first thing I do after the Super Bowl every year is I make a note of the teams that I think are going to make the leap next year. Mm-hmm. Last year, it was Buffalo for me. It was a third year quarterback with Josh Allen. And I said, this is the team that I like. I got him 30-1 preseason. This year for me, my team was Arizona that I circled. And it's the same handicap. Third year quarterback, Kyler Murray, making the leap with more weapons around him and an increased, I don't want to say supporting cast, because his supporting cast was good last year, but just another, you know, set of weapons on defensive. They made some nice additions as well. So I would say Arizona, San Francisco are the two teams that I would look to target in the West.
We're also banking on an improvement from head coach / play caller Cliff Kingsbury.
Sure.
Questionable moves last year. I know they're going to be good, but I'm not sure what to expect out of the Rams with Stafford. They didn't make a lot of additions. Their big addition is Stafford. But you know how this team's built. They have that high-end talent, not a ton of depth.
I'm selling LA. Yeah. And it's not that I don't like the coach. I love him. I think he's exactly what the NFL needs more of. I wish that there was 32 of them running around. But I think in general, you're putting your faith now, and also the Akers injury is important. And I know running backs are a dime a dozen, but he was a guy that was going to give Stafford at least a buffer early in the season to be the take the load off. Now it's Stafford. The thumb's already balky. We've had issues with that in the past. You know, Sean McVay is going to have to do one heck of a coaching job this offseason. And he can. He's capable of it. But for LA to take a step forward from where they've been, which was Super Bowl 2 years ago, obviously just missed the playoffs last year, I need to see more from the offense. The defense we know is going to be great. Can this offense take a step forward with a new quarterback and now their best offensive weapon out for the season? I would say no.
Jared, let's go to your neck of the woods. The NFC East, Dallas, the favorite at +120. Washington, second favorite, +260. The Giants are +400. Eagles are +500. The more and more smart people I talk to, they're making strong cases for under 8.5 on the football team. They beat a lot of soft quarterback play a season ago. The Giants, they're building around Daniel Jones, and they're going to find out what this guy is in 2021. And a lot of Watson to the Eagles rumors over the last week. Where are we going here?
You know, you want to talk about news cycle. You want to talk about volatility. Talk about shaking up a market. Do the Eagles go from worst to first? He's going to miss 10 games, fine. But, you know, do the Eagles go from worst to second in the division, you know, odds race if they get Watson? I don't know. I think you have to gauge your handicap on this division based off of what you think Deshaun Watson's going to do and the impact he's going to have on the market. This is the biggest question mark division. A couple weeks ago, it was the NFC North. Now it's not. Yep. Now it's the NFC East, because again, you throw that quarterback wrench into the mix and you cannot handicap this division unless you know, is it going to be Deshaun Watson for 8-9 games or is it going to be Jalen Hurts the whole way? That's really tough, because what was this division last year? 8-8 was the winner. What was Washington? 8-8, I think.
Were they 7-9?
But that's what I'm saying. So yeah. You get Deshaun Watson for 7 of the 17 games. It took 7 wins to win the division last year. So yeah. It's a really tough handicap. I'll be honest. I'm selling the Giants based off what I've seen in camp the last few days. You got Jason Garrett saying, call me coach. What is this, high school?
Oh,
and you got fights breaking out in the middle of the, so maybe Joe Judge losing the locker room. third-year quarterback Daniel Jones? Does he take the leap? If not, he's the next Sam Darnold. Like, I think Dallas has an opportunity. Best roster, but again, Dak Prescott question marks. Very tough division to handicap right now. If I had to make a bet, I would take a flyer on Philly. You hope they get Watson and the numbers cut in half. But man, this is an absolute crapshoot.
It's one of those situations. We know it's a crap division and we're trying to figure out, okay, which team is it going to be? Is it going to be the Giants? Is it going to be the Eagles? Or is it going to be the football team stepping up? Well, maybe it's just the favorite and there's not a lot of value in it this year. Sure. Dak Prescott returns. CeeDee Lamb is going to snap this season. He's going to have, if he's healthy, terrific quarterback play to work with. And can their defense make the leap to average? I think the Cowboys could come close enough to average. If they do that on the defensive side of the ball, they run away with the East. Can't wait to watch Hard Knocks. That'll be interesting.
And that, you know, and I hate to say it, we might get more information about betting the NFC East on those, what is it, four episodes than right. we get the entire preseason watching any game.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get, and you know, the hardest thing to do is get inside these guys' minds. It's damn near impossible because of the way that, you know, the protection and the access we have. That's the most access we're going to have to these guys probably all season. So I'll be watching. I won't be watching with my popcorn because, you know, I don't know how entertained I'll be, but I'll be watching with my notepad for sure to see if there's a guy that I like or don't like and maybe get a better handicap for the division.
The popcorn will be out when Jerry Jones is front and center, which will be every 10 minutes.
Oh, he's going to be. If he's not the guy, the first guy you see during their flashy intro with the cool theme music, I'd be shocked.
This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score, my guest, Jared Smith. Follow him on Twitter at Jared Lee Smith. And Jared, we have one more division to hit on the NFC side of things. And the defending champs, Tampa Bay, -200 over at PointsBet. The second favorite, maybe a surprise to some because a lot of questions about the signal caller this season. New Orleans is +300. And we've got Atlanta as a third favorite, a +800. Carolina, +1100. A couple of long shots here in this division. That's how much the market believes in the Bucs.
Yeah, and I get it. I respect Tampa Bay, but I'm not betting it. And I think you have to understand that just because a bet wins sometimes doesn't mean that it's a good bet to make. And you're betting -185, which is, you know, a little less than 66%, you know, probability of something happening. How many scenarios in your mind does Tom Brady make it through the whole season? Is it 100%? Is it 60%? And I'm not saying he's going to get hurt, but there are so many factors that go into a season-long bet to say that you have a confident 66% confidence of something happening over the course of 5 months is very hard to make that. And if you don't have a 66 or 70% confidence in something happening, you're making a bad bet with the Bucs to win this division. Falcons 7-1, maybe slightly intriguing. Is this Matt Ryan's swan song? I like what they did in the offseason. I know a lot of new pieces there. I know Pitts is probably going to be a rock star, but how much of an impact does he have? They lost Julio Jones, but the number's right for a team that's been in the Super Bowl in the last 3 years with a similar roster and that has a guy under center that can at least, you know, you would think is somewhat competent. I know that the Matt Ryan haters are out there. I wouldn't bet the Saints. They're kind of in no man's land. Jameis Winston getting taken down by tackling dummies is a very off-putting image during preseason camp. And I would say Carolina is still a year or two away. So I think Atlanta is really the only bet to be made there. But Tampa Bay yeah. likely will win the division. But I'm not 7 or 8 out of 10 scenarios there. So no. I'd probably stay away here.
Can't lay 200 on a division play here. Nope, not with him. But of course, everything says they will most likely win this division. Agree with you. I love everything Atlanta's doing. Love the head coaching hire. They're on the right track. I don't know that it's going to happen in year one. Maybe Arthur Smith is a play for coach of the year.
It's Matt Ryan. Yeah. I mean, if Matt Ryan overperforms and clicks with Arthur Smith, they could have a year like Tannehill had. And if they do with Pitts and with a decent running game, maybe. Right. But, you know, defensively is your worry as well.
Listen, Jameis, Taysom, I don't know what you're going to do. Michael Thomas, first 5 weeks. Sean Payton's a genius. It wouldn't shock me if they end up in last place. Listen.
So, I've been selling the Saints for years, and since Breeze has just kind of outperformed the market the last 2 years. Yep. I've bet the Saints win total under the last 2 years in a row, and I got burned both years. The irony is last year, I even went a step further and bet the Bucs to win the division. Of course, they don't win the division, but they win the Super Bowl. What are the odds of that? So I think the Saints are a sell, and I think the cliff, when it does happen, will be steep.
Jared's a Jets fan, people. So,
don't remind
Darnold me. Darnold experience going to be brutal?
Is he going to start? Like, I mean, honestly, I don't even know anymore with Carolina. No, I think he'll be okay. And I think the issues that he had in New York are not there. And that issue was Adam Gase, frankly. And I think Carolina's got a good head coach and they've got some good pieces around him, but I'm not buying Sam Darnold. I wish him the best.
All right. AFC North. That's the best division in the AFC. So let's start there. It's all plus money. Baltimore plus 120, Cleveland plus 145. Pittsburgh plus 400, Cincinnati the long shot at plus 2,000. Don't love the reports we've seen about Joe Burrow so far. Big on the under 8.5 for the Steelers. I'm selling everything on Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin's finally going to have a losing season there. The big question for most people, is it going to be Baltimore or is it going to be Cleveland? Well, I like what the Browns are doing. They just sat back and they got some nice value in the draft. They're improving that defense. And it appears that they're going to lean on Baker Mayfield a little bit more this season. They're going to have to make a tough decision about a contract with him.
I'm with you on Cleveland. I think Cleveland did a lot more than people thought last year with a lot less, you know, first year head coach, just kind of getting the bearings and understanding what Baker can do. And, you know, a lot of in and outs with Odell and Jarvis Landry hurt. And, you know, obviously the running game and the offensive line is the bread and butter. And if you are able to run play action on early downs in the NFL, you will be successful. EDSR, early down success rate, huge statistic that we look at when we analyze these teams, you know, holistically speaking. And I think Cleveland has a chance to be really, really good in that category this year because they've got a great offensive line, a great running game, and they've got a head coach and a quarterback that now have time. They've won together. They have experience. They have communication. They have confidence. If I had to pick between Cleveland and Baltimore to make a Super Bowl run this year, and I could only pick one of those two teams, I would take the Browns.
Which Lamar you get, right? That's what it goes back to.
Yeah, and they didn't do a whole lot to add in the offseason either.
No.
They felt very content with what they had. I know they shifted the offensive line a little bit, but they felt very content with what they had. And I think they're a really good team, and they're built like a powerhouse, but that's not how you win in the NFL these days. It's play action pass on first down. Can Lamar Jackson do that consistently? If not, they're going to struggle again long term.
AFC West, Mahomes in Kansas City, minus 325. Chargers plus 575. Broncos plus 600. I have no idea why these two teams are that close. And everyone loves to tell me how talented this Broncos roster is, except for the quarterback, only the most important position in all of sports. That's kind of a big thing. Raiders bringing up the rear, plus 1,200. They have no defense. John Gruden says they have Randy Moss on their team. So who knows? I love this Chargers team. Maybe they're worth a shot at about 6-1, but with a Chargers bet to win the division, you're banking on a Mahomes injury.
Yep. So, and why would you bet that? And it goes back to the Bucs discussion. 270 is almost like a 75% chance of something happening, you know, three in minus 300. So I don't see it. You want to take a chance with the Chargers and you hope Herbert takes a step forward. That's fine. I can get behind that because I'd rather have the ticket in my pocket of the best quarterback if Mahomes goes down, which would be Herbert. And I like what LA did out there. I mean, I think they did. I like that coach a little bit. Denver struggles to me just because of what they did in the offseason. They clearly have no path. The Raiders draft, like they just like, what are they looking at? You know, the Leatherwood pick. I mean, I don't understand what the Raiders, then they've been a couple years. Mayock's had a few drafts that you're just like head scratching. And Vegas, you know, they're going to get fans back in that stadium this year. Maybe that gives them a boost to some of these divisional games, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe it goes the other way and all the, you know, road teams travel into Vegas for the weekend. So it could swing in either direction with their stadium because we haven't seen fans in that stadium yet. So we don't know what kind of home field advantage it's going to be. But the Chiefs are going to probably win this division 9 times out of 10. That makes it a decent bet, but I don't want to lay 270 over 4 months because you're right. One catastrophic Mahomes injury and this flips on its head.
Yeah, I was making that same point about these Raiders home games. People make a big deal. Okay, now they have the stadium with fans there this time around. Is that an advantage for the home
team? Might
not
be.
I think it won't be for maybe half the games. There's a stretch of three straight home games for the Raiders. You've got the Bears fans coming in.
You've got the Eagles and Chiefs. All three of those games are going to feel like road games to the Raiders.
And the East Coast vibes, you know, that's where you want the team. I mean, the teams that are coming in from the big cities. And because also Vegas, it's similar to Miami. Go to a Jets game down in Miami and tell me who's the home team. You know, because New York, they all live down there. And in Vegas, it's a lot of hodgepodge. I've only been there. I've been there a few times, but, you know, a lot of New Yorkers, a lot of Chicago residents that live in Las Vegas, they retire there. So it's a different vibe. It's not a city. Now, they've embraced hockey, which is different. And I know, you know, hockey's a different sport. There's not as many traditional fan bases in hockey, way fewer in hockey than there are in the NFL, just because of how popular it is in this country. So you don't get the same vibes of a hockey team. I think in the NFL, you're going to get the melting pot in Vegas. And that's probably what the vibe of the home games are going
to
be.
Yep. A lot of visitors to Vegas on those weekends. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Going over division futures with my guest, Jared Smith. Two more to go on the AFC side. How about in the East? The Bills are your overwhelming favorite at minus 155 on points bet. Nip and tuck with the second and third favorite. Then we've got Miami stepping in after a surprise season a year ago at plus 325. Tua, it's all on you, buddy. We're going to find out if you can play at this level this season. Dolphins, plus 325. The Patriots come in as the third favorite at plus 350. Some big additions at tight end. A lot of those opt-outs on defense returning to the field. We'll see how that goes. And your Jets, the long shot, plus 2,000. You've got a new coach, new quarterback. Hey, man, last time I did a show with you, you're complaining that he hadn't signed his contract. He's in now.
I'm so glad he signed his contract. Actually, the most excited rookie I've been, if we want to get really granular about the Jets, this Elijah Moore kid makes a play every single day, apparently. And he was a dude at Ole Miss that was known for making plays. I really like what the Dolphins did in the draft. I thought they got better. Waddle on the offensive side, Phillips on the defensive side. You know, they drafted an offensive lineman, a couple of offensive linemen, one a little bit later. And you're right. It all comes down to two of them. I love the coach. I love the scheme. I love the system. Can Tua take a step forward? Clearly, Jalen Waddle coming in is, you would hope that they're going to help. It's obvious what the plan is. Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle, bring in Jacoby Brissett to try to nurture him a little bit. There's a strategy. There's a plan in place. Can Tua take the step? No idea. Your guess is as good as mine. You hope he does if you're a Dolphins fan, but I cannot accurately assess Tua because we didn't see him enough last year and I didn't see him enough in college. And there's injury concerns all over the place. So I'm ready to click submit on the Dolphins, but I need to see Tua do it at a high level. I'm willing to sacrifice a buck or two of value to wait till week three or week four to see that happen.
You like the Dolphins as a play more than Bill Belichick and company. And at some point, it's going to go over to Mac Jones at plus 350. The part that really bothers me, not only do I have the questions about Tua, and it's similar to the Giants scenario, the building around him, giving him every opportunity to succeed. And we're going to find out for sure this season. But the defensive turnovers, the regression that is coming really concerns me. And then you've got the Xavier Howard situation there too. I don't know. There are a lot of things going on with the Dolphins not to like.
I think the argument that I can make for New England is this is your chance to buy low on Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
Yeah.
Because you've never had a chance. And I think we talked about this last week. You never have that opportunity again, maybe. If Mac Jones comes in and he's the guy and the defense reloads, because the defense cannot get any worse than what we saw last year, it was arguably the worst defense I've ever seen in you know, a Bill Belichick scheme, you are not going to get another chance to get a 3-4-1 price on the Patriots to win the division, no less win the Super Bowl, where I think, you know, we're in the 20-30-1 range right now. To me, that is the opportunity from an investment standpoint. When you start to break it down, though, Cam Newton starts the season. It goes back to the same thing we talked about with the Bears. Cam Newton starts the season and he stinks. You're going to get a better number in 2 or 3 weeks. When you have questions at the quarterback position, there are certain teams in the NFL which do. Most of them do. Some don't. But when you have questions in the NFL about the quarterback position, buying preseason is a risky venture. It's a risky, risky venture. When you have quarterback and coaching questions, that's even riskier. Here we only have a quarterback question. So to me, that's the issue I have with New England. Same thing in Miami. Love the coach, love the scheme. Can the quarterback take a step? And I don't know the answer to that question now because I haven't watched any preseason games or anything really. But I would pay for that information for those two teams, because at 4-1, you would expect Buffalo to kind of regress a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
And there's an opportunity there to buy low on a New England or a Miami at 4-3, 4-1 that you're not going to get week 8, week 9, week 10 when that division tightens up and it's historically very tight. So I'm willing to pay for information with New England and Miami because I do think they could present some opportunity.
And I do like the direction of your Jets. They're not ready to win the division. And a lot of people I talk to, they like the Bills over 10.5. And while I do also see some Josh Allen regression, I can't really argue that. In a 17-game season, can the Bills go 11-6?
Sure.
Absolutely. They can go over that win total.
Got a great home field advantage in Buffalo, and that'll be back this year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and first-place schedule will be tough. And I don't know who their crossover game is. For example, you know, that was the issue I had with betting Green Bay in the futures market, because their crossover game's with Kansas City. You take away a win automatically with that random 17th crossover game against the first place team from that arbitrary division. So I don't know who the Bills will play, but you would expect that to be a game that they'll probably be underdogs in, especially if it's on the road. So I think with Buffalo, division odds don't make sense, but you're right. The win total, you would expect them to continue to be good. You would expect Sean McDermott to have his defense buttoned up. And that was, you know, I don't want to say issue, but the offense was better than the defense last year. Nobody expected that. And I think the defense, you would expect to take a step forward, while the offense might regress a little bit.
Jared, it was a newsy week for the AFC South. Carson Wentz goes down. Quentin Nelson, their road grader on the offensive line, down to the exact same injury. Deshaun Watson getting traded. I have no idea. Early on in camp, he's not practicing for the Texans. The Titans, now -140 on points bet. Colts +170, Jaguars +650, Houston +2500. I understand why people are overreacting and jumping on Tennessee, but there is no way I'm laying a price like -140. I don't care that you added Julio Jones. I saw that defense last season.
I agree. I wish we did this last week, because I would have given you Titans +110 and everyone would have thought I was a genius. Yes. And that to me is where I'm on. I'm very fortunate that I was on the right side of this move. I did like Tennessee preseason at a plus number, because I saw holes in Carson Wentz and I didn't know what the long-term quarterback situation was going to be in Indy. And obviously the other two teams are lemons, Jacksonville and Houston. So if you take Indy's best player and their quarterback out of the mix, all of a sudden the Titans look like a runaway favorite, but they have problems as well. How are they going to fix that defense? They tried, you know, we'll see if it works. You know, I think that they added the right guys. They drafted the corner when they got smoked last year in the secondary, and they brought in Bud Dupree. We'll see how good he is. I know he's had issues as well, but at least they addressed their weaknesses in the offseason. And I do have a question as well about the offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith goes to Atlanta. Todd Downing comes in, the tight end coach. What's that rapport like with Tannehill? Those are the questions. The positives? Man, oh man, they play in the worst division of football. So if a team that's really good, really tough, and that's what the Titans are, they run the ball, they got good quarterback play, they have weapons on the outside. If you do all those things well and you play in the worst division in football, I would expect to win that division. So maybe it's a coin flip and maybe the number doesn't really make sense now that it's -140, but I expect the Titans to win this division.
Not the strongest of divisions, and the number has already dropped this offseason. I still feel like there's value in Jacksonville, because I think there's a better than 13% chance that team can win the division. Am I nuts?
You're not nuts, and here's why you're not nuts. The sports books are telling you Jacksonville has life. Why? They're a road favorite in week 1. Now, I know it's against Houston, mm-hmm. but it's still rookie quarterback, rookie head coach, team that won 1 game last year, road favorites in week 1 against a divisional team. That tells you how the sportsbooks feel about Jacksonville this year. Now, it's an indictment on Houston, sure, but it takes 2 to tango. For one team to lose a game, the other team has to win it. So I think Jacksonville, you're getting a glimpse that the sportsbooks are much significantly higher on the Jaguars than they are on the Texans. And yes, that would give you, if you're eliminating Indy and you're eliminating Houston and you're saying Tennessee, Jacksonville 1-2, yeah, +650, pretty decent there for a coin flip, maybe slightly, you know, less than a coin flip, but definitely good odds if you're playing the value game.
We got all 8 divisions in. I'm ready for the season. Let's get everybody out there.
I haven't done this yet. I've done, you know, snippets. but I haven't done all eight in sequence like this. So I feel like this is my training camp, Joe. Thank you. You put me through the sleds today.
Hey, we're all helping each other today here on Early Odds. Jared Smith, sports investment analyst. I've hosted some shows with him on BetQL Daily. Check him out on Twitter at Jared Lee Smith. Jared, let's do this again sometime soon. All right.
Absolutely. Good luck.
So we hit the NFL in the first half of the show. How about the college level? You've seen his preview guide, Phil Steele. Yep, Phil Steele will be here to tell us about his surprise teams of the season. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Saturdays 8 to 9 a.m. on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Score listener line open 24/7, 365, and it's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski. This is 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, the Phil Steele College Football Magazine. It's considered the Bible to some bettors. Phil was kind enough to appear on BetQL Daily this week with myself and Joe Giglio. Here's Steele on his number one surprise team. And Steele's also high on a local team. Listen up.
The first criteria is they cannot be a top 10 team. And over the last 11 years in February, I forecast the AP top 10. And I believe in the 11 years, we have hit 10 of 10 teams in the AP top 10 seven times. And then four times we missed it by one. So there's been four misses in 11 years. So pretty confident with the teams that I put in the AP top 10. Now, you take a look at Washington, they won't be in anybody's AP top 10 this year. But I think they have a shot at making the playoff, and that's what the list is about. As an example, in 2016, Washington was not in the top 10. They actually made the playoff. 2018, Notre Dame wasn't in the preseason top 10. They were my number one surprise team. They made the playoff. And even last year, I took a five-loss Texas A&M, made it my number one surprise team, and they came very close to making the playoff. It was between them and Ohio State on Selection Sunday. So, yes, a pretty good track record with the number one surprise team. Now, why I like Washington this year is two-factor. First of all, I do like the talent. You look at their offensive line, averages about 328 pounds per man. They've got two veteran quarterbacks this year, including the Colorado State transfer, Patrick O'Brien. Then you look at the running back core. It goes about six deep there. Good receiving core, and defensively, Jimmy Lake always produces a top-notch defense every year that he's been there. The last 2 years, he's only had two and six returning starters. This year, he's got eight returning starters to work with on defense, so I think we got a quality team. This year, I think home field edges will be a major factor. I believe that after missing out on football last year, fans are not only going to return in large numbers, but also return with a great passion. And so I think home field is big. Well, if you look at Washington, their two toughest games this year are Oregon and Arizona State. They avoid USC and they avoid Utah coming out of the South. Oregon, Arizona State, their two toughest games. Again, them both at home. I actually have Washington favored in all 11 games this year, or all 12 games, I should say, which is the reason that I picked them as my number one surprise team.
Wow. It certainly makes a lot of sense. Okay, so you think Washington could make the playoff. Phil, which coaching changes, head coach or coordinators, do we need to keep a close eye on?
That's a good question. I think when you take a look at some of the changes, I think one that's going to surprise some folks this year, maybe at Illinois. And here's why I mention that, because expectations are extremely low for Illinois. I'm not sure what the over-under win total is for them. But when I talked to Coach Lovie Smith last year, going over the offensive line with him, he felt they had five offensive linemen that were all capable of going to the NFL. And this year when I talked to Coach Bielema, he feels the same way. So they got a really good offensive line, and they've got a good quarterback. And this is the type of offensive line that Coach Bielema likes, a big offensive line loaded with NFL-caliber guys. And that's when he does his best work. So they've got 22 super seniors. He's stepping into a pretty good situation in that coaching change. I think the best situation situation out of the SEC of the new head coaches this year would be at Auburn, because Coach Harsin is inheriting Bo Nix. If he can be the quarterback guru you expect him to be, they also have Tank Bigsby in the backfield, one of the best running backs in the country, my number eight linebacking core in the country. They could be a surprisingly good team this year. So those would be a couple of them to look at.
There it is. Phil Steele likes the Illini. Win total of 3.5 this season. If you don't bet in our state, legally, you can find it, because our laws suck. BetQL Daily, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on 105.9 FM HD2 and the Odyssey app. That's my weekday show. The entire conversation with Phil Steele available on the BetQL Daily podcast, filled with juicy nuggets. You should listen. There's a free money promo at PointsBet. Jim Miller will share the details. Early odds, Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. PointsBet has the best pregame odds on Major League Baseball across money lines, spreads, and totals. Ditch the other guys to get better odds and bigger payouts at PointsBet. Best odds out of the top U.S. sportsbook. Why bet anywhere else? Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Saturday mornings on 670 The Score. And we check in with our weekly contributor from Hawthorne Racecourse, where they have a PointsBet sportsbook. His name is Jim Miller. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Joe. Yeah, and it's nice thinking about it that you have to be in person now to register. So to have three locations in Northern Illinois is a definite bonus, and things have been going good for PointsBet.
Hawthorne Racecourse, Crestwood, and Prospect Heights, in your spot at Hawthorne, the closest sports book to downtown.
And there's the thing about it. You think about it, it's so easy. You are right off of I-55, only a couple of miles off of 290, 10 minutes outside of downtown, and it's easy access. You walk in, you're immediately within the sports book. A nice setup there. If you want to make your wagers early on in the day, you can do so. If you want to cash at any point, we have people there pretty much all day long to be able to cash out any wagers. Or if you just want to sign up, go up there with the geolocating, pull right into the parking lot. You sign up, you can activate your account right there, and then you're on your way.
Jim, we're down to 33 days. So every single morning when I'm preparing for my show, BetQL Daily, I'm checking out the PointsBet app. I noticed a couple of days ago, because all the shows on The Score have been asking me about the Bulls movement, their title odds have been cut in half. I noticed the Lonzo Ball assist leader prop was cut in half by Bulls fans. It went from 100-1 to 50-1. But I saw this NFL booster that caught my attention. Tom Brady on the house booster for the season opener, now less than 5 weeks away.
We talk about this time and again too, Joe. Every once in a while, and it's actually pretty often, probably once a month, there's just kind of free money that's tossed your direction. And that's what PointsBet's doing again. You, like you said, the Tom Brady on the house booster, you put 10 bucks on it, you're going to double your money if he throws for a grand total of 1 yard or more in week number one. So we've seen some bad quarterback performances in Chicago over the years, but still, 1 yard out of the goat out of Tom Brady is free money. So you can go on there right now to PointsBet, and they're giving you a whole lot of time all the way up to the start of the season, but you want to make sure you get in and get that free 10 bucks.
Jim, before we get to the horses, I want to talk about your White Sox a little bit. Get your reaction to a couple of nuggets that I dug up. AL Central, I don't know if you put anything down there before the season, did you? Because they're They're minus 20,000 to win the American League Central crown. Basically, what that means is if you want to win $1, you have to bet $200 on the White Sox to win $1 right now. But the other day, it flipped as far as the World Series futures go. And what I'm saying is it flipped between the Sox and the Astros. For much of the year, the Astros have been ahead of the White Sox, but now the White Sox have the shortest odds to win the World Series out of the American League at plus 500, Astros plus 550. However, I looked at the American League pennant, and the Astros are the favorite there at plus 235, White Sox plus 300. So how concerned are you about an ALDS matchup with them?
I was concerned after the series in Houston when the Sox just got beaten up, got knocked around, and lost every game. But you have to think that this timing kind of coincided with that series coming right out of the All-Star break, where the Sox played better at home against Houston. And you're looking right now, Lance Lynn's rolling. He's the guy we talked about a couple of weeks ago as a guy that you wanted to bet then for Cy Young Award. Now he's the Cy Young Award favorite. You got Carlos Rodon. Dylan Cease the other day struck out 11 in six innings. it's amazing when you're not having to talk about Lucas Giolito or Dallas Keuchel. Those are kind of the guys on the outside looking in. But I have to think that odd shift had to go with just kind of coinciding with that series after the All-Star break, and then kind of what's happening with the moves at the trade deadline and picking up Kimbrel, because that bullpen's awesome. You just got to get him there with a lead, and then you can shut the door.
Yeah, Lance Lynn has been the favorite for the AL Cy Young Award for a week, and you quickly mentioned it right there. I don't know what took so long. I really don't. I know Gerrit Cole's awesome, and for a while there, his numbers started to slide, but I never felt that these voters, after that press conference about the sticky stuff, would say that he's the AL Cy Young unless he's just a complete runaway. It felt a little disrespectful for the numbers that Lynn and Rodon have been putting up all season long, that neither of them could be the favorite. But now Lance clearly is. And I look at him as an overwhelming favorite at -125. Rodon, your third favorite. It's a three-player race because after Rodon, it drops all the way down to Chris Bassett at +1600.
Well, and here's the thing about it, too. Lance Lynn takes the ball every 5 days, and he's going to go out there and give you a quality start every 5 days. You have to think with Carlos Rodon now, they're going to start backing off his innings a little bit, just coming off the injury, coming off the shortened season, looking at the bullpen you have right now. So Rodon's chances probably are going to diminish a little bit. But we talked about Gerrit Cole. You had the sticky stuff press conference. You miss a start due to COVID. All of a sudden, those things start to add up a little bit, and that's enough to drop you out of the race. So to me, I think all Lance Lynn really has to do is stay healthy the rest of the season, take the ball every fifth day, maybe sixth day if they want to throw another guy in there like Jimmy Lambert every once in a while. But -125 to me, I think, is still a pretty good price. I would still jump on that right now, Joe.
Jim, we have to pay off our tees. What about the horses today?
Well, we got another winner last week, and this week we're actually going to go to Saratoga in New York. We're going to go to 3 stakes races. So race number 8, bet the 4-horse, obligatory across the board, 4-1 in the morning line on that horse. Race 9, bet the 2, De Jure, across the board. That one's at 8-1. And then in race 10, bet the 5, Maxfield, just the win, should be the second choice, but you're getting some value all around.
Tonight, UFC 265, and if people want to check it out, they can go to Hawthorne Racecourse, the Crestwood spot, or Prospect Heights for free tonight to check out Lewis Gain, right?
Yeah, and that's the one thing that's cool. PointsBet really promoting UFC. There's some boosters with UFC as well that you want to check out. The Crestwood location is gorgeous because you have huge TVs there. You have couches. You have those nice leather chairs and that. So that's a place where if you want to hang out, get some food, enjoy the fight, that might be the perfect place to go.
Jim Miller of Hawthorne Racecourse and PointsBet at that Hawthorne spot, at Hawthorne Jim on Twitter. Thanks, Jim. We'll talk next Saturday.
You got it. Thanks, Joe. Have a good weekend.
Also, appreciate Jared Smith for dropping by to go over the NFL divisional market, and we heard from Phil Steele. He likes the Illini. All right, all right. If you missed any of that, check out the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app or subscribe to the Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski podcast. You can hit me up on Twitter as well, at Joe0670, at Joe0670. You've got my weekday show, BetQL Daily, 8 to 11 a.m. on 105.9 FM HD2 and the Odyssey app. We're ramping up for football season, and I appear on all the Score shows Tuesday through Friday every week. Up next, Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw to discuss the Crosstown Classic. Cash tons of tickets and keep it locked here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.